Hello, everybody. Well, nobody here yet. This is a live stream, but there will be those of you watching later. Nice to see you. I thought we could talk about Jordan Peterson and Plato on telling the truth and lying. So let's just see what we have here. This is Jordan Peterson's eighth rule from the 12 rules, Antidote to Chaos. Rule 8, tell the truth, or at least don't lie. Okay, Jordan Peterson's 12 rules. Rule number 8, tell the truth, or at least don't lie. Well, on the other hand, you have this, a little book called Plato's Republic, that you may know, and you're looking at part of Plato's Republic. This is from book one. Plato's Republic is divided into 10 books. You can call them chapters if it's helpful to you. So this is from book one, and in this part of Alan Bloom's translation of Plato's Republic, there's a question that comes up about truth and lying. Okay, so I thought, good morning to you as well in the chat. So what I thought we could do is just take a look at Jordan Peterson, who says, tell the truth or at least don't lie, and Plato, who says something in defense of lying, and just try to think about who's right. All right, so in Plato's Republic, what's going on, where there's a defense of lies, Socrates is talking to this old man named Cephalus in Plato's Republic, and he asks him, what do you suppose is the greatest good that you've enjoyed from possessing great wealth? Is the question that Socrates asks this old man, Cephalus. And he says the following. When a man comes near to the realization that he will be making an end, like when he's close to the end of his life, when he thinks he's going to die, fear and care enter him for things to which he gave no thought before. The tales told about what is in Hades, like in the afterlife, that the one who has done unjust deeds here must pay the penalty there, like if you lived badly in this life, then you'll go to hell, for example, except here we're talking not about hell, strictly speaking, in the Christian sense, but about Hades. And though he used to laugh at those things before, they now make his soul twist and turn because he fears they might be true. Okay, he's getting older, he's getting closer to death, and he fears that the tales told about Hades may be true. Whether it's due to the debility of old age, hi everybody, we're just reading from Plato's Republic and going to contrast Peterson. Whether it's due to the debility of old age or whether he discerns something more of the things in that place because he's already nearer to them, as it were, he is at any rate now full of suspicion and terror. He's afraid for his soul, what's going to happen after death. And he reckons up his accounts and considers whether he's done anything unjust to anyone. The old man's about to die and he's thinking, have I slighted anybody? Have I been unjust to anybody? Am I in order? Am I in order with everybody? Or is my soul going to be punished after death? The man who finds many unjust deeds in his life often even wakes from his sleep in a fright, as children do, and he lives in anticipation of evil. All right, so he's getting old. He's afraid he's going to die. He's afraid he's going to go to Hades or go to hell. And if he is conscious in himself of no unjust deed, then he's at peace. Well, what's the relationship between this and money and truth and lying? We're going to see in a second. Go a little bit further here. So Cephalus, this old man, he says, for these reasons, I count the possession of money most worthwhile, not for any man, but for the decent and orderly one. The possession of money, he says, contributes a great deal to not cheating or lying to any man against one's will, and to not departing for that other place, the afterlife, Hades, life after death, frightened because one owes some sacrifices to a god or money to a human being. So here's what Cephalus is saying. Socrates asked him, what's the greatest good that you've had out of having money? Cephalus says, I got old, I started being worried about the salvation of my soul, and money helps me to make sure of these things right here. Number one, I'm not going to cheat or lie, and I'm not going to owe anything. I'm going to die not owing anything and not having had to cheat or lie, because if you don't have money, you're more likely to cheat or lie and to die owing something to somebody. Okay, so that's what he said. And just earlier, so you see, right here, Cephalus himself characterized lying and cheating as unjust deeds. Now we get to the whole problem, okay? So we have Jordan Peterson. Tell the truth or at least don't lie. Okay, Jordan Peterson, tell the truth or at least don't lie. And now we have a question about truth, lying, justice coming up from a different author, Plato. Okay, so Kephlis had just said cheating and lying are unjust. And now Socrates asks, well, are you sure that it's so simply stated that justice is giving back what a man has taken from another? That means paying your debts, not dying with any debts outstanding, returning what is owed, and telling the truth. Okay, so let me make this crystal clear for those of you watching now or later. Kephlis had called unjust deeds dying with having lied and cheated on one hand and not having repaid debts. So Socrates zeroes in on this right here and he asks, are you sure that's what justice is? Is justice really returning what's owed and telling the truth? Remember, here's Peterson, tell the truth, or at least don't lie. And now we want to know what Plato says. Is it the same thing? Is it different? And if it's different, who's right? And how do we think about it? So Socrates asks him, and now we have this tiny little example that puts everything into question for us. So here's the example or the question that Socrates raises. Let's read the whole thing. But as to this very thing, justice, shall we so simply assert that it is the truth in giving back what a man has taken from another? Or is to do these very things sometimes just and sometimes unjust? Take this case as an example of what I mean. Everyone would surely say that if a man takes weapons from a friend when the latter is of sound mind, and the friend demands them back when he's mad, one shouldn't give back such things, and the man who gave them back would not be just, and moreover, one should not be willing to tell someone in this state the whole truth. Okay, Jordan Peterson, tell the truth or at least don't lie. And Socrates now suggesting that there are times where you must not tell the truth and you must lie. What's the example where you must not tell the truth and you must lie? Well, maybe when your friend has lent you a weapon and he wants it back, but he's crazy. He's out of his mind. He's just snapped. He said he's going to take the weapon and go chop up the metro station or commit some mass act of terror. You see, he's completely insane. And he says, hey, do you have my weapon? I say, what weapon? I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, you didn't give it to me. You gave it to somebody else. That is called lying. And Socrates is arguing here that everybody would surely say that in that example, to lie is just. Jordan Peterson, tell the truth or at least don't lie. Plato's Republic, book one. This is about two or three pages in, probably. I mean, it says, if you can see the PDF, it says 30, but that's because there's like an introductory essay. So pretty much Plato 101, Republic 101, first few pages of the first book of the Republic, we have an argument that to lie can be just sometimes. So we have a problem. Good morning, A. Logan in the chat. So we have a problem. And I'd like to know what you think for now. Is Socrates right? Do we agree that there are some instances where it seems to be just to lie? That justice and truth are not the same. They're distinct. And that therefore, if you care about justice, there may be cases where you must not tell the truth. That's what Socrates is arguing here. So what do you think? It's a pretty simple and a pretty small example. You get a lot when you extrapolate from it, as I'll try to show in a second or say in a second, but let's look again. So the guy lends you a weapon. He wants it back. So we have two things. Number one, returning what belongs to somebody else. It's not your weapon. It's his weapon. So you have to repay the debt in that sense. You have to return what's owed to the person whose it is. And according to Kephalus, this old man, you should tell the truth, because if you lie and you cheat, then you'll be punished in the afterlife. If you were in this situation, what would you say? If you had been lent a weapon, for example, by a friend, he wants it back and you see that he's out of his mind, would you tell the truth or not? Is it justifiable to lie? Peterson says, tell the truth or at least don't lie. And you know, in a lot of his presentations, he talks about the importance of not only telling the truth, but living truthfully, being in the truth. Truthfulness, yeah, as a way of being, you could say. I'll scroll down here and find some relevant passages in a second. But the key thing here is tell the truth. Whereas the key thing here in Plato's Republic is do not tell the truth. And by the way, maybe this has some relationship with Peterson's request that people online are not anonymous. Whereas Plato doesn't even write in his own name. You could say Plato's anonymous in the Republic. What does Plato think? You're looking at the Republic. That's what we have on screen right here. Okay. Plato's Republic, Alan Bloom translation. Here it is, masterpiece of political philosophy. And we say, is this anonymous or not? Well, okay, Plato's name is on it, so in that sense, it's not anonymous. But where is Plato's opinion? What's Plato's teaching? If you don't know, the Republic consists of characters in a dialogue. Socrates, Glaucon, Adeimantus, you see the names of the speakers are up here. You see that? Socrates and Adeimantus are talking here. Sometimes it's Glaucon. It never says Plato up in this corner because Plato's not a character in his own dialogue. You could say Plato hides behind his characters. There's a statement in one of the supposed letters of Plato where he says there's no work written by Plato. So somehow Plato himself is anonymous. And in writing anonymously, as it were, he defends lying. Whereas Peterson, who's against anonymity, tells you, tell the truth or at least don't lie. So that's what that's just one of the things I wanted to put before you for consideration, because it's a pretty big difference and it's not a trivial one. It's not unimportant. So Conan says in the chat here, who gets to decide when he's mad and when he's sound? Crucial, crucial question, especially when you extrapolate from the example. Because imagine that justice does require a knowledge of whether the person that you are returning something to or speaking to is of sound mind or not. So if justice requires that kind of knowledge, knowledge of whether or not the person you're talking to is in sound mind, and if it's that knowledge on the basis of which you can decide how to distribute goods and truths, then you're a few steps away from the idea of the philosopher king if you're not already there. Now, the philosopher king is a figure in the Republic who comes up in book 7, whereas this example of the truth-telling and the returning the weapon is from book 1. And yet, when you begin to raise the question, who gets to decide who deserves the truth and doesn't, when it's just to lie and when it isn't, well, then you're really a stone's throw away from the philosopher king. I would assume the decider says, yup, is one who is close to the madman. Oh, I guess I should put these comments up on screen. I would assume the decider is one who is close to the madman and knew him before his madness. Well, yeah, in that specific case, they're friends. The friend lends the other one a weapon, and then, you know, he wants it back, but he's crazy. So the other friend can sort of tell, like, something's off here. I can't return it to you. I should lie to you. But we can extrapolate on the basis of the example. You see, there's another thing to consider here. Property rights means that you have a claim to something. You have a right to it because it's yours. Now, does this crazy guy have a property right to his weapon? And does he have like a human right to the truth? Well, the example in that little exchange is that no, he does not have a property right to his weapon. It can be kept from him legitimately. And he doesn't have a human right to the truth. He can be lied to justly. So just to remind those of you who are just coming in, we have Jordan Peterson, Rule 8 from his first 12 rules, tell the truth or at least don't lie. And then we have Plato's Republic, which offers a defense of lying. Not just in the example that you're returning a weapon. I mean, you're asked to return a weapon to your friend who lent it to you, but he's not in the right state of mind. That was from book 1. There's another defense of lying, later in the book, and some of you may even know the idea of the noble lie. But we don't have to go past the example in book one, the example of returning the weapon. Okay, so hang on, let me just get that back on screen. You should continue with your debates and with your thoughts and with your comments. Let's see. This is now Socrates talking to Thrasymachus. And again, maybe Jordan Peterson's animosity towards anonymity and Plato's, as it were, sympathy for forms of self-concealment have something to do with their different understanding of when it's appropriate to tell the truth and when, if ever, it's appropriate to lie. After all, Plato defends lying and disguising, disguising himself in the form of writing dialogues. And he also says in the dialogue that poets hide themselves behind their poetry, as it were. Okay, hold on. Let me just go back to the passage. So it's up on screen for everybody who wants it. We have it here. Again, this is Socrates talking to an old man about whether or not it's just, always just, to tell the truth and to return what's owed. And with this little example about the crazy friend who wants his weapon back, here it is. We're looking at 331C. These are called the Stephanus numbers, I guess. Book 1, page 7 of Alan Bloom's translation of the Republic. Here we go. Once again, he said, isn't it sometimes just and sometimes unjust to return what's owed and to tell the truth? Gives the example of the friend who lent a weapon, and then he's crazy, he's out of his mind. And Cephalus, pretty amazingly, he agrees. You know, he says, yeah, that seems right. I mean, that is right. It does not seem just. Everybody would agree that it's not just to give the weapon back to the friend who lent it to you when he's no longer in his right mind. And so Socrates says, so this is not the definition of justice, speaking the truth and giving back what one takes. Okay, can you defend, like Jordan Peterson does, telling the truth or at least not lying, without any consideration of the requirements of justice and the way that Plato has us think about it here? Okay, so that's Plato's Republic. And if you are interested in that, I have a course on Plato's Republic. It's platocourse.com. Yeah, other comments in the chat that are on a different topic, you know. Well, I got to think about what to do with that. And you should think about whether, you know, how could you put it, it's worth your time and effort, or whether you come off looking potentially not so serious. So I would assume the decider is one who's close to the madman. Yeah, Shane, loving these live streams. Great, I appreciate it. Okay, so there's the Plato course and this inquiry. I think it's a huge question, because if you see, for example, Jordan Peterson talking with John Vervafke, I don't know how to exactly pronounce the name, but Peterson Vervike, if anybody knows there. I think it's this one right here, a conversation so intense it might as well be psychedelic. Could be this one right here. Whoops, sorry, I had copied. So this form that I just posted by accident, I actually meant to post the YouTube link. This form that I posted, it's for undergraduate students who want to apply for a scholarship to study at my school, because some people from time to time donate money to the school designed to cover course costs for undergraduates. But this is the video that I meant to post for you. I think it's this conversation where Peterson is talking to Vervike, and you'll see something amazing, I think, which is that they discuss a lot the truth and the logos and, you know, what happens in a genuine and authentic discussion and dialogue. And in part, they discuss it in terms of Plato. But something really conspicuous is missing from the conversation for anybody who learned their Plato studying Leo Strauss, for example. And the conspicuous thing that's missing is the whole realm or domain or notion or concept of the political, of political Platonism or political Platonic political science. So what does it mean when we inject the political into the conversation about truth? Well, at the very least, it means that we inject the notion of justice, because somehow you can't think about the political without thinking about justice. And we just saw Thanks for the clarification on the pronunciation, verveki. Appreciate that. So as we just saw in Plato's Republic, truth and justice are separable, such that justice sometimes requires lying. So when Peterson, tell the truth or at least don't lie, was talking to Verveki about the Logos and about truth, and they had a lot of Plato coming out in it, again, the absence of the political dimension was very conspicuous. So if you are studying Plato and you mostly know him in terms of the thinkers who are more psychologistic, let's say, or even more about logos and communication and dialogue, about who, if you think about it, have left the political off the table, you must read this guy right here, Leo Strauss. And as I was just mentioning to someone the other day, chapter 2 of this book called The City and Man, which is on Plato's Republic, has probably the best introduction you could hope for to what it means to try to understand a Platonic dialogue and why Plato, if we really look, comes to light as a political thinker, weirdly enough. So what's our evidence, let's say, just to give you a little taste of the Strauss here, what's our evidence that Plato's a political thinker? Well, I just mentioned earlier in the stream that Plato somehow is anonymous in his own dialogues because he doesn't write in his own name. There is no character Plato. There's Socrates, Polymarchus, Cephalus. There's Thrasymachus. These are characters from the Republic. And in other dialogues, there are other characters, but there's no treatise on truth written by Plato in Plato's name where it's like, this is what I think. And there's no character in his dialogue named Plato who's like, this character represents me and what I think. We may imagine that Plato speaks through the mouth of Socrates, but it's not so easy because Socrates says different things at different times to different people and is known for his irony. So it's a bit of a puzzle. What does Plato think? Plato writes in that sense kind of anonymously, as we were saying. And it's always something to keep in mind. But what Strauss says is, okay, we don't really get Plato's ideas. I mean, we can't assume at the outset that what a character says is what Plato believes. So do we have any access at all, preliminarily, to Plato himself when we approach a Platonic dialogue? And what Strauss says is we do. We have the titles. Plato chose the titles. And Strauss says, if you look at the titles of the dialogues, the ones that have a thematic name like this are primarily political. The statesman, the laws, the republic. And so, you know, Strauss teaches us to see, really to look and to see that Plato comes to light for us initially, somehow phenomenologically, as a political thinker. Whereas when Peterson, and I like Peterson, I don't have anything against them, but when Peterson was talking to, how do you pronounce it again, Verveki, the political is not there. So hello to everybody here in the comments, in the chats. Augustine's City of God. I've never given it a careful study, to tell you the truth. I've read Augustine's Confessions and other works by Augustine, and I've wanted to teach Augustine, but City of God's, you could say, still lies ahead of me. I want to do a study of the City of God. I haven't done yet. Okay, A. Logon writes, at least don't lie. I guess I should put these up on screen. At least don't lie doesn't exclude omitting the truth. So maybe Peterson can weasel his way out of Socrates' scenario yet. Yeah, we would actually just have to see. I'm curious to know if I ever get the chance, Dr. Peterson, if you're watching this, to have a conversation about truth, justice, politics, and lies with Professor Peterson or Dr. Peterson. It would be, I think, important to have the Platonic alternative on the table and to think about truth and justice, the basic argument that it can be just to lie. And again, even a broader theme. Also, we have this phrase from Leo Strauss, but the broader theme of persecution in the art of writing, which includes something like concealing your thoughts and yourself by writing between the lines and by employing that lost art of esoteric writing, like deliberate contradictions, deliberate omissions, repetitions that are modifications, and all the other ways that Strauss discusses the quote-unquote art of writing. I again venture that there could be a relationship between Peterson's call for people to speak the truth in their own name and an oversight of the nature of Platonic political philosophy. And therefore, we need to supplement, at the very least, our study of Peterson, those of you who have a study of Peterson, with Strauss's Platonic political philosophy. All right, so those of you who are just tuning in now, this is Jordan Peterson, Rule 8 from the 12 Rules, Tell the Truth or at Least Don't Lie. This is The Republic of Plato, translated by Alan Bloom, where in Book 1 there is a defense of lying, a defense of the justice of lying, and there are other defenses of lying in Plato's Republic. I just wanted to bring that up with you. Okay, is there anything else? Those of you who have any interest in studying this text in detail, you can go to platocourse.com. I have a 10-session walkthrough of the Republic, about 2 hours a session, goes into a lot of detail. Let's see, anything else? You can feel free in the chat if there's anything else you'd like to discuss. That's really the main point that I wanted to set out for you today. And let's just have a few moments here where you can post questions or comments in the chat if there's anything on your mind. And if there isn't anything you'd like to discuss, then we'll just wrap this up. David writes, hey, I heard about you through Thad Russell. Nice, great. Nice to see you, David. I appreciate Thad's mention. And for those of you who don't know, talking here about Thaddeus Russell, he has an online school called Renegade. I guess it's called Renegade University. And you should definitely check out the work that he is doing. And you may know, I think, the other name worth mentioning maybe in this context is Justin Murphy, who's got Indie Thinkers or Other Life. I taught for him earlier this year, and Justin, Thaddeus, and myself, we're all trying to take our university chops and bring them to online independent education. So hopefully you guys have some opportunity to check out the courses that everybody's offering. David asks, am I going to teach a course at RU? It's under discussion. It's definitely something that I would like to do and planning to do, and that Thaddeus and I have, or Thad and I have, started to talk about. Okay, Hunter writes, my blogs have an intended esoteric interpretation for true initiates. Exoterically, it looks like a diet blog, but esoterically, it's all spiritual allegory. Well, that's definitely a model. I mean, alchemical writings seem like they're externally about certain chemical operations, and yet, you know, they can often be spiritual allegories. Thoughts on Nick Land? Next up on your list. Yeah, I haven't really read much Nick Land, I got to be honest. So I focus obsessively on a small handful of authors. It's just the way I am. So here's Heidegger, more Heidegger, more Heidegger, ever more Heidegger. And there are nevertheless other people that I want to read, Nick Land being one of them. But you know, if I had to choose right on the spot between Heidegger and Nick Land, not knowing Land, so no disrespect intended to him, I would probably continue my study of Heidegger. As much as I enjoy the Bloom translation, I'd recommend the Balboa translation, free on the Internet Archive. It's line to line, corresponded to the Greek in the same page, beautifully written. Okay, so those of you who see that comment and had me read it out, here you go. Here's another translation you can consult. I use the Bloom to help people get started on the Republic because it presents a whole philosophy of translation. It gives us some importance about, I mean, Bloom himself introduces us to the importance of translation and the ways that a translation can distort or block our access to the text. My first lecture on the Republic, by the way, at millermanschool.com is available in the free trial, and that's where I go over Bloom and Bloom's translation, why I selected it, why we use it. But it's not the only one, and there are other ones you can consult and look at and look from. Nick Land follows me on Twitter. Cool. I will definitely eventually look into his works, at the very least, because I know Dugan has read Land and written about him and talked about him. Okay, what else did we have here? Just looking at some comments here again. Would love to see a talk between Peterson and you. The intellectuals you teach deserve a broader audience. Dugan, Heidegger, Schmidt, Strauss. Thanks very much. I was surprised when I was reading Peterson's 12 Rules that he does mention Heidegger quite early, and he obviously is influenced by Heidegger quite explicitly. So I can show you where he mentions Heidegger. I think it's in a footnote to rule. I think it's in a footnote to rule one. Let's just have a quick look here. Where are the footnotes? Let's see. Does that take us there or no? Add note. Okay, anyway, well, early on in Peterson's 12 rules, he mentions being with a capital B, and he has a footnote explaining how, for him, that is something he understands on the basis of Heidegger. Now, independently of whether he's understood Heidegger well or badly, I think it's pretty nice that he's got an explicit reference to him in his work, and he talks about being, and he talks about concealment and truth and unconcealment, so there's definitely a Heidegger present in Peterson's work. All right, let me get oriented back here to the comments. Have I read Hubert Dreyfus? Yeah, Dreyfus is not my my default interpreter of Heidegger, but I'll tell you something kind of interesting here about Hubert Dreyfus, those of you who know him as a scholar of Heidegger. He has this interesting co-authored text. Just looking here, I have a screen I want to navigate to find you this. So he's got a nice co-authored text. I think it's called Disclosing New Worlds. Is this it? Hubert Dreyfus, yeah. So I'm just going to drop this in the chat. It's not that I recommend it, but it's the most interesting thing I personally have read that Hubert Dreyfus is associated with, and I was kind of surprised to see him as a co-author on it. Am I familiar with Manly Palmer Hall? Yes, I am. Canadian mystic philosopher, mystic theorist. Okay, guys, so just to get up to speed, and we'll probably cut this short, we were looking at Plato's Republic, which offers a defense of lying and a distinction between truth and justice on one hand, and Jordan Peterson's 12 rules, which had the rule, as I'm sure you remember, tell the truth or at least don't lie. And the question was, can those two views be reconciled? What's the significant difference between Peterson and Plato? And I suggested that it has something to do with the political being absent, weirdly enough, because you might think that Peterson is a very political thinker, and yet Plato's understanding of the political seems to be absent from Peterson's presentation. And when we put it back on the table, maybe we get there the defense of lying, the focus on justice, and even a sort of defense of anonymity. So I suggest that we leave it there for now, a nice half an hour Wednesday stream. Thanks for everybody in the comments here. I don't know, Hunter, I should say, who John David Ebert is, so I can't even comment on that. Feel free to go to millermanschool.com if you'd like the free trial with many courses on Plato, Heidegger, Strauss, Dugin, Schmidt, and others. Thanks for tuning in, and do leave a comment. Who do you think's closer to the truth here, Peterson or Plato? What do you think Plato's missing, if anything? What do you think Peterson's missing, if anything? And can it be just to lie, or should we tell the truth, or at least don't lie like Peterson says? All right, guys, have a great day. And if I don't see you again before the first, a happy new year. Bye.